invite you to stand as you are able. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, our help is in the name of the Lord. If you, O Lord, have a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand?
Only you, there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared.
Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, because your abiding presence always goes with us, keep us aware of your daily mercies that we may live secure and content in your eternal love. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated. The Old Testament reading for the third Sunday after Pentecost is from Jeremiah chapter 20. O Lord, you have deceived me, and I was deceived. You are stronger than I, and you have prevailed. I have become a laughingstock all day. Everyone mocks me. For whenever I speak, I cry out, I shout. Violence and destruction. For the word of the Lord has become for me a reproach and derision all day long. If I say, I will not mention him or speak any more in his name, there is in my heart, as it were, a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I am weary and holding it in, and I cannot. For I hear many whisperings. Terror is on every side. Denounce him, let us denounce him, say all my close friends watching for my fall. Perhaps he will be deceived. Then we can overcome him and take our revenge on him. But the Lord is with me as a dread warrior. Therefore my persecutors will stumble. They will not overcome me. They will be greatly shamed, for they will not succeed. Their eternal dishonor will never be forgotten. O Lord of hosts, who tests the righteous, who sees the heart and the mind, let me see your vengeance upon them, for to you have I committed my cause. Sing to the Lord, praise the Lord, for he has delivered the life of the needy from the hand of evildoers. This is the word of the Lord. We speak the gradual together. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. On your wondrous works I will meditate, and I will declare your greatness. The epistle is from Romans chapter 6. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies, to make you obey their passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, as your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Are we to sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of an obedience which leads to righteousness? But thanks be to God that you, who were once slaves to sin, have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed, and having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. I am speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, leading to sanctification. This is the word of the Lord. Ooh, I didn't finish that. It's still the word of the Lord. We're going to finish this. When you were slaves to sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. But what fruit were you getting at that time? From the things of which you are now ashamed? The end of those things is death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I invite you to sing for, as we sing the Alleluia and the verse for the reading of the Holy Gospel. I invite you to stand. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 10th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
These 12 Jesus sent out, instructing them. Brother will deliver brother over to death, and father his child. And children will rise against parents and have them put to death, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in one town, flee to the next. For truly I say to you, you will not have gone through all the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the disciple to be like his teacher and a servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household? So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the dark, say in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. But even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven. This is the gospel of the Lord. We confess together our faith with the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, and for us men, and for our salvation, came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended to heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy and Giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead, and the life in the world to come. Amen. You may be seated. We sing, O God, my faithful God.
Grace, mercy, and peace be upon us as we join our hearts together today. We pray that God's Holy Spirit might bless the meditations, the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts, so that we might be strengthened in our faith and that we might give glory to our Father in heaven and our Savior Jesus. Amen. Well, today we're going to vary just a little bit from those readings, and we're going to be looking at Psalm 91, which is the psalm that is assigned actually for today in the lectionary series. Now, if we were doing it the way I'd like to do it, I'd say pull out your hymnals, because Psalm 91 is in the front, but we can't do that today, so we're going to go ahead and read through things and try and repeat so that we can emphasize the points that we need to remember today. Psalm 91 has been for decades and centuries a psalm that has focused on God's protection, God's care, the gift of comfort and hope that believers have in God, especially in times of difficulty and trouble and the things that cause us pain and fear. I'm going to read the first two verses. And in those first two verses, we're going to find four names of God. And I'm going to ask, the title is, what's in a name? You know, a name is just a word that's assigned to a person, place, or thing. And it can be a general thing. And, you know, we can have a name of a person that's, well, that just identifies who they are, or maybe a place, which is a city on a map, or a thing that might have usefulness. However, we might also have another deeper understanding that a name of a person, if it's of a spouse or a child or a grandchild, can have much deeper meaning because there's much more wrapped up in that name. The same thing is true for a place. It may not be just somewhere on the map. It may be where we were born or grew up, or it may be where a child or grandchild was born, or maybe it was a place where a proposal was given for marriage. Lots of things that make that place more important when we hear that name. And the same thing is true for things that might have a name because they were a family heirloom that's been passed down to us. And when we name it, we remember all that goes with the heritage. Well, that's the situation when we read God's word. There are myriad of names that God reveals himself to us through. The general one is God. And that's got great deep meaning, and we'll get to that. But there are four names that we're going to hear in this particular psalm that all talk about protection, that talk about comfort, that talk about hope. And they are especially meaningful for us today in a world where we have so much going on around us, where we are troubled by all kinds of things with the pandemic and trying to rearrange and resort out all the things that that we do and how we live. And there is so much fear and distrust and just agitation that is out there. We need to have a focus and a center. And that focus and center is going to be in the God who gives us names that are important. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. And then the verses that follow give pictures of disaster, warfare, pestilence, all kinds of terrible things. And yet, that one who is the Most High, who is the Almighty, who is the Lord, who is my God, promises that no matter what we go through in life, God is there with us and will not let us go. That's why this particular psalm has been one that has been such power and might and has such comfort and such peace that it has given to Christians throughout the centuries. And then we'll look at the last verses, because the last verses have something, because it turns. The last verses are God speaking to and about the one that puts trust in him. Because he, and it uses the masculine, but it really means anyone. And I'm going to use it as one of the translations does in the plural. Because they hold fast to me in love, I will deliver them. I will protect them because they know my name. When they call to me, I will answer them. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue them and honor them. With long life will I satisfy them and show them my salvation. Oh, power. And we're going to talk about why the names of God that are there are important, because the promises at the end are not empty. They're not wishy-washy. But the God who has the power to fulfill the promises not only gives them to us, but he gives them to us abundantly. And we're going to get down to the tail end, because that last section that gives us such promise and hope has a little Easter egg in it. Now, anybody know what I mean by an Easter egg? I had a film aficionado much younger than me explain what an Easter egg is, and that is in a film or in a production that something that's this a surprise that refers to something other than what's going is hidden in there, and when all of a sudden you go, oh yeah, it's there. Well, we're going to find that Easter egg, so I'm going to give you a little spoiler on that. So keep listening. Well, let's go back to the first two verses and the names that are given to us, as we are the ones who say what the psalmist says in that second verse, my God in whom I trust. First name, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High. Most High, wonderful, powerful name of God that is used already in the book of Genesis. So it's an ancient name or title given by God to who he is. It really means one that is above all. And if you're looking at the children of Israel, they've got lots of people with lots of gods around them. And what the psalmist is saying, hey, there's only one who's above all. And this is the God to whom we turn. All the others are weaklings compared to the Most High God. We in the New Testament look at it that God talks about his son Jesus. Remember in Philippians that he has been given a name. Okay, he's humbled himself, but he's given a name that's above every other name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Or what's the title that Jesus gets in the book of Revelation? King of kings and Lord of lords. He's above all. So the Most High God is the one that we turn to. He is it. He is the one. And it says, he who dwells, the one who dwells in the shelter of the Most High, is going to do something else. Dwelling in the shelter. That word can also be translated lives in the secret place. Psalm 90 prior talks about God is the one in whom we live. The Apostle Paul, preaching on Mars Hill, says he's going to tell them about the God that is the true God, the unknown statue to the unknown God. In him we live and move and have our being. The secret place. The world does not understand the secret place in the sense that it is a spiritual connection. Paul writes and he tells us that the things of the spirit are not understood by the carnal mind. That has to be revealed to us. And we are hidden in Christ, as he says. We have that place of security. That's a place of security, a shelter from the storms of everything going on in the world around us. God says, come to me, and I will take care of you. Now, we understand as Lutheran Christians how that happens. Number one, we hear God's word. It convicts us as sinners, but it also gives us the wonderful message of the gospel. And why do we have the baptismal font here? When we are baptized into Christ, but we're also baptized into the name of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and all the power that that God has for us individually. And we are connected. We hear that word Sunday in and Sunday out. We're nourished by that word as we read it in our own private devotions and in our study together. And we have the wonderful feast of forgiveness, where Jesus comes to us and nourishes us, reminds us that in him we are forgiven, and he comes to us to nurture us and to hold us close. That shelter, that secret place of the Most High, is a place of security and protection. The psalmist goes on and says, when that one dwells in the shelter of the Most High, that one will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. Now, the Almighty is another one of those Old Testament words, and it has to do primarily in Genesis with blessings and gifts that comes from God's hands. And God reveals himself to Abraham by this name. He is the Almighty. God showers us with blessings, and when he gives us a promise, he has the power to do that. He doesn't make idle promises. He doesn't speak empty words. But his word goes out, and it doesn't come back to him empty without filling what it's supposed to do. And so when we put those two verses together, we dwell in the shelter of the Most High, and we abide in the shadow. The shadow is the covering where we receive peace and we receive relief from the struggles physically and spiritually. To live and to abide means we're not there just once in a while. Okay? When we abide and live in those places that God gives us, that means it's like the old hymn. It's not in our Lutheran hymnal, but it's one we all know the refrain. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. We walk with Jesus every day because he walks with us. We have that connection. Now, do we turn our backs on him a lot? Do we want to dwell in places of fear and struggle and selfishness, all those things that our sin brings upon us? Yes. But God says, come, I give you that wonderful gift of forgiveness and peace and hope in all of the circumstances in life. It's like we're in the boat with the disciples in the storm. The storm was raging all around us. But can we remain secure because who's in the boat with us? The Lord Jesus. And he has the power to protect and care for us. And all of these things that the psalmist writes about are real, and they are dangerous, and they cause all kinds of human fear. We don't have to look very far in our world to find those kind of things going on around us, do we? I mean, we're reminded we're finally able to get back and have more folks together here in worship. My mask is up behind me because I'll put it on when I help with communion later. We socially distance. We put on our mask. We try and do the things that we wash our hands and wash our hands and wash our hands. And, you know, we do all those things that are prudent. But where is our life lived? Is it lived in a world of fear? Or is it lived in a world of faith where God says, I will be with you no matter what? Now, that doesn't mean that we're always going to have everything happen and God's going to protect us from all the bad things in life. But what it does mean is that he is going to be with us no matter where we go through things. And we'll talk about that in just a little bit. The next name that comes up is, I will say to the Lord. And if you had your papers in front of you or you had the hymnals in front of you, that's capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. That is the most common name in the scriptures used for God. We read the translations, and it comes out so often as Jehovah or as Yahweh. It's the personal name of God. It's the name God identified himself to Moses with. Who am I going to say sent me? Tell him I am Yahweh. It is the God who is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Remember, that's what we read in the letter to the Hebrews. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. God never changes. But there's another aspect to that idea of Yahweh, the Lord. I'd have you read it in a different fashion, because Yahweh is the term that is used that rolls from Old Testament to New Testament. And when you read Lord in all capitals, I'd encourage you to read it as the God of the promise. The God of the promise. How many promises does he make? Oh, the scriptures are full of them. But what's the most important promise that he makes? Jesus gives that promise. Be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven. Jesus gives us the promise, I will be with you always. I will never let you go. You're in the palm of my hand. And I and the Father are one, and nobody's going to snatch you out of his hand. So no matter what we face in the trials and troubles and circumstances of life, because the Lord Jesus loved us and laid down his life for us, he fulfilled the promise of a Savior. And that's not just for now, it's for forever. But we need to remember that it is for now. Because the psalmist says, I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. It's the oldest name used for God, Elohim. Do you know where the first time it's used? In the beginning, Elohim. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. This is the God who put it all into motion. This is the God who keeps it all together. This is the God who holds us and promises never to let us go. And the psalmist takes this, the Most High, who is unknowable in all that he is, who is almighty and has power and created things that we still don't and will probably never understand, is a personal God who tells us to call him by name, the Lord. But even more importantly, the psalmist says, my God. That's personal relationship. The Holy Spirit has called us by the gospel, enlightened us with his gifts. He sanctifies and keeps us in this faith so that we can say, my God in whom I trust, no matter what happens in life. Good, bad, ugly, terrible, life, death. He is with us. His promises are sure and certain. And we know that because at the close of this psalm, after God promising that he is with us in all of these terrible circumstances, he won't let us go, God speaks through the psalmist. Because he/she holds fast to me in love, I will deliver them. Now the word there in the Hebrew really means to cling to or to stick to. Okay? Anybody here ever gotten super glue on your fingers? What happens? They're stuck. Unless you got that stuff or you slice, you know. But anyhow, this is the connection that the one who clings to me, the one who has faith in me, and even that faith, God's Spirit gives to us. And strengthens so that even when we go through the difficult times, we know he will not let us go. I will protect him because he knows my name. He knows my name. And we've got that myriad that we could go through and spend hours talking about the names that God reveals himself to us through and what they mean. Because that name is something important. It tells us who he is and who we are in that name. When he calls to me, I will answer him. How many of us have called upon God and seen him answer? Amen. doesn't always happen right away. And you know, sometimes he answers no, and we don't like that. But he uses that for our good, because in all circumstances, Paul writes to the Romans, in all things, he works together all things for good to those that love him and are called according to his purpose. Sometimes we've got to have 20/20 hindsight. And I'll tell you real simply and plainly, I got a list that keeps growing longer. The longer I live, I'm going, Lord, I don't understand that, but I have to trust that you were in it. We've all got those lists. But he says, when we call on him, he will answer. I will be with them in trouble. That means today, with everything that's going on in the world, God is still there holding us. I will rescue him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him. I just have to share a thought that's quite a number of years ago. I buried a 4-year-old. And the first question, God, you didn't answer the question for that little guy. Only 4 years. 2 days before, the Lord called him home quietly and suddenly, unexpectedly. We were at church on a Wednesday night, and he ran by me. We'd had Wednesday night school and choir. And he stopped, turned around, and looked at me and said, you're the one who poured water on me. Yeah, and I called him by name. I am. Looked at me and goes, cool, boom, and turned around and ran off. The assurance that we had and the family still holds years later is that God made that little one his own, and he may not have had many years on this life in this world, but he's in the arms of the Lord Jesus and he has eternal life. And no matter how many years we're blessed with in this life, and no matter what the circumstances of life or are departing this life, we have the assurance that Jesus tells us that as we believe in him, though we are dead, yet shall we live. And whoever lives and believes in him will live forever with him. That's our comfort. That's our hope. That's a gift. And now I said, we had an Easter egg. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. We go, okay, that's heaven, right? We just talked about that. The word that is translated salvation has the base of the Hebrew word shuv, which means to save. We don't just hear that word in the Old Testament, but it's used in the New Testaments in a very familiar fashion for us, because there is a name that is two words out of the Hebrew put together to make one name. Yah, which is short for Yahweh, and Shuv, which means to save. And when we go to the Gospel of Matthew, we hear an angel talk to Joseph as Joseph is struggling about Mary being pregnant by the Holy Spirit. And what does the angel tell Matthew? You're going to call him Yeshua. God saves. That's what Jesus means. And the angel says, because he will save his people from their sins. So we can read this very simply and plainly. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my Jesus. He's right there in that psalm. And though the name comes out different, he is still there, because you and I can face anything in life, physically, spiritually, because we know that our God, who is the Most High, who is the Almighty, who is the Lord, the God of the promise, and our God is also known as Jesus. We know how much our God loves us because he sent his Son to be our Savior. And so today, we say, what's in a name? A whole lot. To our Lord and Savior Jesus, be all glory and honor. Amen.
I invite you to stand for prayer. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Faithful God, when we are fearful of our enemies and weary of the struggle, you have been our shield and our strength. Grant us full measure of your grace to sustain against all who are against us, and help us to endure the trials and temptations of this mortal life and be faithful unto death. Lord, in your mercy, faithful God, with your favor upon us, we pray you to help us in our fight against temptation and sin. Help us to live holy and righteous lives by the power of the Holy Spirit, and keep us from surrendering ourselves to the slavery from which Christ has set us free. Lord, in your mercy, faithful God, you have been gracious and given us families. We pray that you would bless our families, bless parents, and especially on this day, bless fathers, as we celebrate Father's Day. Lord, in your mercy, faithful God, remember those who serve us in Jesus' name. Bless the leaders of our synod, all pastors and teachers, and all church workers, that they may be faithful in their calling and honor Christ with an obedient life. Raise up those who will follow in their footsteps and serve your kingdom in the years to come. We especially pray for Pastor Elect Joseph McCauley as he continues to prepare to serve here at Trinity. Lord, in your mercy, faithful God, you give healing and strength to the sick and all the afflicted in body or mind. And grant to those who struggle the gift of peace of mind and heart. Hear us especially for those who have requested our prayers. We pray that you would be with Jim as he is hospitalized, for those undergoing surgery and medical procedures, including Michelle, for those recovering from surgery, illness, and injury, including Donna, Miriam, Elka, Archie, Keith, Norma, Lou, Roger, Lynn, Emma, Carol, Pollyanne, Buck, Kira, Charlene, Barbara, Betty, Sophia, Larry, Richard, Kayla, Sue, Bob, Leslie, Ray, Steve, Donna, Ralph, Robin, George, Beth, Linda, Bob, and Jane. We also pray for those contending with health issues, including Erica, Jeff, Ken, Nicole, Arla, David, Russell, Amy, Sammy, Carol, Brandon, Alvin, Yvonne, Farah, Kathy, Michelle, Lee, Michael, Julia, Weston, Tabitha, Lavono, Jessica, Emma, Alicia, Faith, Kylie, Mary, Arlene, Blake, Roberta, Bill, Shirley, Kaylee, Emma, Sarah, Anthony, Ed, Brady, Rowena, Sharon, Chelsea, and Ruth Ann. We also pray for those managing the effects of cancer, including Marriott, Beth, Stephanie, Connie, Joyce, Joanne, Thatcher, Ron, Jennifer, Jerry, Brianna, Linda, Lois, Louise, Jamie, David, Renee, Tom, Stephanie, Shelley, Susan, Todd, Anna, Ron, Rachel, Mary, Myra, Teresa, Nancy, Sue Ellen, Sonia, Frank, Larry, Judy, Carl, Donna, Amy, Susan, Kent, Al, Bethany, and Jan. And those whom we name in our hearts now, restore our nation and the world in health and livelihood, and preserve us from pestilence and fear. Lord, in your mercy, faithful God, Heavenly Father, you have given the gift of marriage, and you have blessed us with such an institution. We pray that you would be with Larry and Myra as they celebrate their wedding anniversary. Lord, in your mercy, faithful God, give courage to those near life's end, and comfort those who mourn. We especially pray for the family of Sue, the family of Christian, and the family of Mary Margaret, and those whom we name in our hearts. As we recall the saints who trusted in you in life and in who had died in Christ, encourage us by the witness of your grace and their faith, so that when Christ comes in us in his glory, we may be found faithful and delivered with them into glory of your eternal presence. Lord, in your mercy, into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. You may be seated.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and all places give to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for the boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we may not die eternally, because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity. All who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, receive the blessing of forgiveness, life, and salvation that come to us in his body and blood. Hear us as we pray and as he has taught us. Our
Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation,
Jesus Christ, the night which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, when he given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink it of all of you. This is my blood of the New Testament, shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. This do as oft you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Thank you.
The body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strength preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love towards one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
We sing Children of the Heavenly Father.